Thanks, Paul. If you grab your Bibles, we'll turn to Acts chapter 16 this evening. And I want to share some thoughts on this topic tonight, how God strengthens our faith, how God strengthens our faith. And it kind of came from earlier this week. I conducted a funeral and I was just talking to the family afterwards, and just through conversation, just some of these kind of points came up in our discussion, and I just thought that would be good to share with us tonight. So I hope this is a help. I hope it's a blessing. So basically I want to look at some aspects of how God strengthens our faith. And we all know that faith is a key aspect to our Christianity. It's spoken of a lot in the Bible, but even just from the pulpit and amongst Christian conversations. But just like anything else that's living, it's only good when it's growing, right? So even the plants in your garden, like, they're only good when they're actually growing and producing something. So when things are growing, they're actually strengthened. Like, those things go hand in hand. And so I understand that tonight it's a pretty broad topic. There's, you know, many points that I could actually give you tonight, but we don't have that much time. So I'm just going to really hone in on three aspects of this topic tonight. Okay, so we're in Acts chapter 16. We'll have a look here in verse number 5. Okay, Acts 16, verse number 5. The Bible reads this, and it says, "And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." So that word "established" there actually means strengthened. Okay, so the question is, how were these churches or these Christians strengthened in the faith? Whatever solidified their faith should be able to help us as a group of believers too. So the question is, what caused their strengthening? Because it says they were established or strengthened in the faith. Well, have a look at the verse before it, verse number 4. It says this, "And as they," this is Paul and Timothy, "as they went through the cities, they delivered them," who? The churches, "the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders, which were at Jerusalem." So what that verse is saying is Paul and Timothy went around and delivered to the churches and the Christians these decrees or dogmas or teachings of the scriptures, things that amounted to holy living. So Paul and Timothy had the understanding of these things, and they delivered them to these churches. These Christians actually then held on to these teachings. And the result was, we see in verse 5, that they were established or they were strengthened in the faith. So there's something that we can take from that, whether we look at it as a whole congregation or just as an individual Christian tonight. And if you think about it like this, think about working with children. Whether you've worked with children or not, you'd understand this illustration. They enter into a new environment. So it might be, you know, a building, a complex, a park, your house, wherever it is. They enter into a new environment. And then when you as the adult give them clarity, direction, boundaries, and purpose, you're giving those children everything they need to be confident and to be strong. So what do I mean by that? Well, I mean, if you give them certain things, like I just mentioned, they can safely roam around that new environment knowing that they're not going to get hurt. Why? Because you've given them boundaries. You've said, you know, "I set this as the boundary, don't go past this place, otherwise you're going to get hurt or something bad's going to happen." So they can safely wander around that because you've set a boundary. They don't have to question why they're there because they've been given their purpose and direction. You've established that, or you should have established that from the get-go, okay? And I understand every kid doesn't just go, "Oh, okay, you've given me that instruction, I'm just going to follow it," but you understand my point. They don't need to ask what's this and what's that because they've been given clarity on their surroundings. You've already said, this is the toilet, this is the reading place, this is whatever, whatever, right? So it's actually the same with us as believers. God has actually given us decrees to keep. He's given us things that we need to understand. And so have a look in verse number 4. It says that they delivered them the decrees for to keep. And that word "keep" actually means to guard a person that he may remain safe. Now, why am I saying all this? What's this got to do with strengthening our faith? Well, strengthening our faith is not all about being hardened through trials and temptations and hardships. there's actually the aspect of protection that helps you to be strengthened. So when you tell those kids in that new environment, hey, don't go past here, hey, this is this and this is that and this is why you're here, you are actually giving them comfort and you're giving them confidence to be strong in that environment. And so God does the same thing. He gives us things. He gives us decrees, the words in the scripture to say, hey, this is what you should do and what you shouldn't do, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not about you working to get strengthened, but it's about him setting some things in place that you keep and you hold on to and you know and you understand, and that gives you the strength, that gives you the protection that you need as a Christian. So really, we can't overlook the simplicity of just listening to and doing what God's word says, okay? So that's the first aspect. The first aspect is just knowing and keeping God's word. I'm probably going to be pretty quick tonight, okay? So we're going to move on to the next one. So first aspect is knowing and keeping God's word. Next one we'll look at is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If you just flick there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll have a look in verse number 13. It says this, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So the second aspect of this is that God doesn't test till breaking point. God will not test you and I as a Christian till breaking point. God's not about seeing how many breaths it takes to blow up the balloon until it pops. I don't know, if you've ever been in youth group, maybe that's a game that you've played. Like, let's see who can like blow it up the fastest to make it pop in your mouth kind of thing. I don't recommend it. But God's not about that. But he is about seeing us get stretched. So he doesn't want to just blow us up, you know, as a balloon until we just can't handle it anymore, but he does want to see us stretch and expand and grow, okay? And think about it. If most other balloons pop when put through a difficult situation, wouldn't a balloon that constantly remains inflated through difficulty be worth taking note of? If every other balloon is popping through that pressure, through that difficulty, the one that stays inflated would be like, that stands out. There's something different about that one. And that's kind of what God's getting at here. Our temptations and testings are no different to other people's. That's what that verse says. There's no temptation that you're going to face that's not common to everyone else. God doesn't have certain tests and temptations for these people and you. Everything, we all face the same temptations and tests. God's not going to treat us any different in just getting rid of the difficulty. Why is that? Well, because a popped balloon and a deflated balloon, one that's just had the difficulty taken out of it, still are both not an inflated balloon. They still don't both grab your attention. They don't say anything about this balloon being able to withstand the difficulty. One's popped and one's deflated, they're both just as useless as each other. So if we approach it God's way, there will always be a small hole in the balloon. Well, what's that referencing? Well, that's referencing the way to escape, it says in verse 13. There's always going to be a small hole in the balloon, almost like there's a constant pouring in of testing and temptations, but there's one small way to be strengthened through it all, by seeking God's way to escape. And you might say, yeah, but what is his way to escape? Like, I've got this temptation and this problem and this difficulty. What is God's way to escape those things? How do I remain inflated by following God's way? Well, the answer is that it can be different each time. For each temptation, for each difficulty, it can be something different. It might be closing your mouth and not reacting straight away to the problem that you face. It might be praying for someone that despitefully uses you. That's the way to escape. So you're still in the situation. You still have the person attacking you or saying things about you, but then you praying for them is that way to escape, God's way, that you're enduring through it. It might be not rushing into a decision, but seeking godly counsel. So not just thinking that you know the answer to everything, but asking other trusted sources, hey, what should I do in this situation? But the end of verse 13, if you have a look with me, it says, that ye may be able to bear it. And bear here means to endure patiently. It actually means to bear up a thing placed on one's shoulders. So the idea that God's saying is, if you do it my way, you can actually take on a whole lot more weight than you would not doing it my way. And that's strengthening your faith. That's you not crushing under the pressure because you're choosing to do it God's way. You're not stepping out and saying, ah, it's just too much for me. You're choosing, you're looking for what is God's way to escape. How do I approach this? So that's actually being strengthened. That's knowing that not only if that same difficulty comes your way, you can endure, but if some other difficulty comes your way, you can endure. How? By choosing God's way to escape. You continue to stretch and expand, and it's almost like the balloon, you as the balloon, keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and guess what? God gets more and more glory. And we understand that balloons don't just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger, but that's the idea, is if we do it God's way, we have more of an impact and more of an influence to give God more glory. And that's actually why we're here in the first place. So that's the second one. The second one is God doesn't test till breaking point. And finally, the third aspect of how God strengthens our faith, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And we're going to look here in verse number 12. So it says this, Hebrews 5 verse 12. It says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So the third aspect of God strengthening our faith is that God will strengthen an active faith. God will strengthen an active faith. This verse, if you look at it, it's addressing those that should have learned some lessons in the Christian life. In fact, they should actually be the ones in the teaching spot. They should be teaching others about it. However, they're still sitting in the learner's seat. And so this verse is kind of addressing that situation. And I'm making this point that God will bring you tests based on what he's already shown you in his word. He's going to test you based on what you already know. He wants to see what you're doing with what he's already shown you. You're not going to advance the learner driver to get their P plates if they keep making the same simple errors. And definitely Fail Gael would not do that. But you're not going to advance them to the next stage if they just can't get that first stage right, okay? You have to keep feeding them milk. They're not ready for the strong meat yet. So how do you move on to the strong meat? How does your faith get strengthened? We'll have a look in verse 14. It says this, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So this verse says that your faith gets strengthened by using what's in front of you, not looking down the road at what's in front of somebody else. Your faith gets strengthened not by not trying to skip a step. I'm not really interested in learning that lesson. I want to go to the next one. Advance. Where's the jump the queue button? You know, you go to Dreamworld now, it's like you pay extra to jump the queue. You don't have to stand there waiting. Well, God doesn't have that in his economy. If you don't want to wait, then too bad. You're just going to stand there and never learn the lesson. And if you don't want to learn the lesson, he's not going to give you another lesson to learn. He's just going to keep bringing that same one before you. You're going to be stuck on the Christian merry-go-round. Same lesson over and over again, and you're going to wonder, why am I not getting anywhere? Why are these people progressing in their Christianity, in their faith, and it seems like things are going well for them, or you know, they're getting more out of their Christianity, and I'm just stuck here on this merry-go-round? It's probably because you're not doing anything with what he's already put in front of you. And this is for the mature believer just as much as it is for the immature believer. This is for all of us. So maybe there's a lesson in your Christian walk that keeps getting presented before you, and you just want to keep getting past it and keep going. Well, God's not going to fast track you around it. Learning that lesson is what gives you the strength for the next step. Learning that lesson gives you the strength for the next step and the next step and so on and so forth until you're not drinking milk anymore, you're eating strong meat. Verse 14 says that those who eat strong meat, they've got to that point, they have their senses exercised. Their senses are exercised. This is where we get our English word gymnasium or gym from. Clearly, I don't go to the gym, okay? But I do know a little bit about some kind of exercise. I know that if you lift 20 kilograms once, you don't just do that once and then go straight to 25 kilograms the next time. If you do, you're probably very much a novice, and you're probably going to hurt yourself. I know that if you run your first 5K, you don't aim for 10K on your next run. I know that. It's actually about repetition. It's about learning. It's about training. So when that lesson catches you off guard, you can have a peace that your faith can handle it because you didn't just try it once and, okay, now I'm ready for the next one. But you're going over and over and over. And all you guys that go to the gym, you don't just go once. You know that. Everyone knows that. It's about having a peace that you're representing God correctly while doing it. And all the while, God is strengthening your faith through each step. So really, those are the three aspects tonight. I told you I'd just be kind of real quick tonight. But I hope that these things you would keep in the forefront of your mind. I hope that you would maybe share them with someone else or just chew on them a little bit more. But I hope that's a help. I hope that's a blessing. I'm going to pray, and then I'll hand over to Brother Phil, and we'll take some prayer requests. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your provision. Lord, ultimately, we thank you for your word, for things that we can learn from it. Lord God, we thank you that it is rich, that, Father, it cannot be exhausted. We thank you, Father, that it is a living word and that we can come to it at any time and get something new from it, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would help us tonight to just consider the things that we've looked at, to consider how you work in our lives, how you seek to strengthen our faith, Lord God. And Father, if we just be humble to let you work and to do things your way, Lord, we know that you'll get the glory for it. So Father, we do pray that you continue to guide us and direct us for the rest of this week. And we thank you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.